My guest at this time is retired U.S. Air Force General Tom McInerney, who's also a Fox News military analyst. He was former assistant vice chief of staff for the Air Force. That's the number three spot in the Air Force during his time at the Pentagon. We want to get his thoughts on a number of key issues, ranging from Iran's sudden willingness to negotiate or at least have discussions about its nuclear program, as well as the Secretary of Defense today outlining some of the major cuts coming to the U.S. Armed Forces. And, General, it's always good to have you with us.
Thanks for having me, Greg.
The Iranians have been very secretive about this program. Even the UN International Atomic Energy Agency has been frustrated by the lack of cooperation. Now President Ahmadinejad is saying that he's willing to talk with Western nations about the state of the Iranian nuclear program. What do you think led to the change of heart, if there is one?
Well, I think he's been watching what President Obama is, which is heading towards unilateral disarmament by the United States. He's just trying to stall for time. He starts coming out and saying, yeah, let's talk about nuclear issues, while his people are going full speed ahead, and we start thinking that he is sincere in his negotiations. This is all kabuki, Greg. He has no intent on negotiating with us, and as he watches what Secretary Panetta said today, he is just hoping that the U.S. forces will continue to draw down like we're doing. So this is just a stalling tactic. Don't believe anything's going to happen here.
So a lot of folks, and you sound like you're probably among them, who see this as kind of a repeat of what we saw with the North Koreans promising to discuss possible changes, maybe even agree to some changes, but ultimately nothing ever really changes. Explain what happens in these talks or these negotiations that convinces the U.S. and our allies to give them that more time that you mentioned that they're trying to buy.
Well, I think this administration thinks that they are capable of getting a negotiation through the increased sanctions that they're talking about, the European Union going to stop in 6 months from buying oil, they say. We really have to see what happens. And so the Iranians clearly are going to say, well, look, let's take them to negotiations. We can draw this out for a year. And by that time, we'll have a nuclear weapon, and it'll be already accomplished. So that's what it is. It's a stalling tactic, and I wish that this administration and our European allies would acknowledge that. But let's remember, the Russians and the Chinese are also advising the Iranians, take them into this stalling tactic. It always works.
General, does the fact that they feel like they need to stall for time suggest that either these covert targeting of scientists or these computer attacks are having a pretty significant effect on them?
I don't think so. I mean, it's having some impact, but what they're trying to do is really get those economic sanctions, the European Union particularly, because if they stop buying their petroleum in July, that would have a fairly significant impact on their economy. And so that's what they're trying to lead turn. So 6 months in, it looks like they're making progress. The Europeans, to be good guys, to keep the negotiations going, they'll hold off the sanctions. So again, just a stalling tactic.
We're talking with retired U.S. Air Force General Tom McInerney. And, sir, also today, as we mentioned, Defense Secretary Leon Panetta detailing at least a little bit more what we knew from the president a couple of weeks ago, and that's that the Pentagon will be reducing projected spending by about $500 billion over the next 10 years. Every branch of the service is affected by this. It looks like they're trying to move more towards using and relying on drones as well as special ops forces rather than large deployments of ground troops. The Army will be reduced by about 66,000 troops, the Marines by about 18,000. Before we get to your branch, the Air Force and the Navy, let's just talk about the ground forces for a minute. What's the impact of dropping what I guess is about 85,000 troops?
Well, it's going to be more than 85. What I'm getting from, it's going to be 100,000, 80 from the Army, 20,000 from the Marines. And the fact is, that is very significant. That sends a signal to our adversaries that we are coming down in any ability to handle a land campaign. What startled me on the Air Force side was the single most important thing was they say they're going to increase the drone and special operations, and yet they take out the crown jewel of our drone forces, the Global Hawk, which is a brand-new airplane, and they're going to keep the 50-year-old U-2. I mean, this was astonishing to see what this administration has done. They've got a brand new Global Hawk that stays airborne for 32 hours, and they're going to replace it with a 50-year-old U-2 that has only one sensor versus four sensors on the Global Hawk, and it only flies 12 hours. Now, I just can't fathom the logic behind that, particularly since they said just last June that there's no option, no alternative to the program which will provide acceptable capability to meet the joint military requirement at less cost. It amazes me, Greg, what's going on in the Air Force right now with that kind of decision-making.
Also, along those same lines in the Air Force, the budget calling for a reduction of 6 tactical air squadrons as well as 1 training squadron. Panetta says, quote, that will mean minimal risk to our dominance of the skies. How significant is this?
Well, I think it's very significant because people forget the $500 billion that Secretary Gates took out before he left. And now we're coming up with another $500 billion, so it's $1 trillion in the defense budget. And those 6 squadrons are coming from already a depleted fighter force and air superiority force. So it may not sound like it's very much, but let's consider probably the 300 fighters came out of the force structure before these cuts. So it is very significant now, Greg, and it's very worrisome what is happening across the board to our whole military force. But the startling one was the Global Hawk. Why this administration would even accept a decision like that? I flew the U-2 25 years ago when I was Vice Commander-in-Chief of U.S. Air Forces Europe. It was old then. It was 25 years old now. Then, and now it's 50 years old, and they're going to keep it. That amazes me, that kind of logic that's going on in this administration and in this Air Force.
General, it's probably a hard question to answer a little bit, but a lot of folks have said this kind of takes us away from the ability to be able to fight two wars at the same time. What do you think these cuts would do, if they're all approved eventually by Congress, to our readiness?
Well, it'll clearly take us away from being able to fight two major contingencies simultaneously. We will no longer have that capability. We will go to one. And that will invite trouble. So if we have a problem in the Middle East with Iran, then the North Koreans are going to see this as an opportunity. That's why we've had, ever since the Korean War, this strategy of being able to fight two major theaters of war simultaneously, because it discourages and dissuades adversaries, even if we're engaged in one part of the world, to try something in another part of the world. By doing this, we are going to encourage adventurism, and we're going to live to regret it.
Well, a sobering assessment indeed, sir. Nonetheless, thank you very much for your time today. We appreciate it very much.
Thanks, Greg.
Retired U.S. Air Force General Tom McInerney, Fox News military analyst, rose to the number 3 position in the Air Force during his time on active duty as Assistant Vice Chief of Staff for the Air Force. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.